thank Jeff for his selection of songs. Especially, I hope you paid note and close attention to the last one that we were singing. I believe that will fit very well with the point that I'm trying to make as we study together this morning on a very important subject. That is the subject of the deadliest pandemic ever. Before we get into that message, though, I would like to remind you again of what the elders have asked about the contribution. That's primarily for those who are staying at home at this time for various reasons, to remind them that the church still needs the contributions to be able to function. And you may or may not know this, but in the budget that has been set by the elders, there's really not any fluff in there. And so we really need to try to hit that budget the best that we can. So let's be sure and be mindful of that. The church has to have finances to be able to function and for us to be able to have the conveniences that we have and the services that we have through the church, so many of them. Also, on a very wonderful note, again, I want to let you know, if you do not know, that John Bartus was baptized into Christ Monday evening, and so we have great rejoicing on that account. We're so happy for him and for his family. His mother was so excited when she got a hold of me, but I think he may have gotten trouble over it because she said something about he has not let me know yet. And so I'm sure all that's been worked out. But it's so good that John has obeyed the gospel. We know that heaven rejoices over it. We rejoice over it. And certainly he has already been a good example for us. And hopefully we will be for him as well as we work together, live together, worship together, and strive to be in heaven together some sweet day. Not long ago, I was in Georgia, as you know. I was visiting my daughter Morgan, and as I was there, I started getting text messages that all the food was leaving out of the stores, and then the shelves were emptied, and things of that nature. And I thought, wow, what has happened these few days that I've been gone? And so just to be very cautious, before I left Georgia, I bought some groceries, and then I came home, and true enough, there are a lot of shelves that are still empty even today of certain items and some necessary things. And so as I began talking about that, someone said to me, but we have a pandemic. And I was kind of like, yeah. Well, the truth of the matter is, as I fess up, I really didn't know what a pandemic was. That's how smart your preacher is. I didn't really know, but I didn't really plan on trying to see what it was until I started watching the news, and all of a sudden, pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. I said, Mike, you better find out what a pandemic is. And so I began to study the subject. Most of the time I do listen to you, and if I don't know, understand something, I may act like I do, but really I don't. I'll go home and research it, I'll study it, and I'll become more familiar with it. Well, that was the case on this occasion. And I learned that on March 11th, 2020, that the World Health Organization recognized the coronavirus as a pandemic. I still didn't really know what a pandemic was. And so I continued to research. And I learned there are a lot of things I don't know about these things. You see, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not the son of a doctor. I'm not the son of a... I'm not even an expert at anything for that matter. And so I have to do like you, I have to research. And so I wanted to see what is an epidemic. And so I studied an epidemic and I found that it's a widespread occurrence of an infectious disease in a community at a particular time. I said, okay, that's pretty simple. I understand that. But what is a pandemic? Because when I was told we have a pandemic, I was supposed to just go nuts. But I didn't know what it was, so guess what? I was just as calm as always. Not because I wasn't afraid, because I didn't know what the word meant. But now I do. I looked up what is a pandemic. And of a disease prevalent, a disease that's prevalent over a whole country or the world. Now that's pretty serious. Epidemic is serious enough. Pandemic is even more serious, but not necessarily a reason for panic. Well, here it is, the best that I could understand. A pandemic is an epidemic that affects more people and covers a larger geographical area. Now, that's what a pandemic is. For those of you who've been acting like you know what one is and you really don't, now you know. Now, there have been some very deadly pandemics over the years. I want you to just look at a few of those, just briefly. I want to try to put this thing in its right perspective for each of us, the best that I can, doing my research and what I can find. You know what I realized? I realized that I have lived through three or four of these things and didn't even know it. Like the swine flu, for example. 2009, 2010, it infected about 61 million people. That's a lot of people. It killed 575,000 people worldwide. I'd say that's a pandemic. It was deadly. In the United States, it killed 12,469 people. Swine flu. This was kind of interesting to me. As I researched this subject, I found out that the influenza season, the flu season, we hear about the flu season all the time, right? Every year. Flu season, you better get your flu vaccines, on and on it goes. Well, 2018, 2019, that wasn't very long ago. During the flu season, the flu infected 35.5 million people. It hospitalized 490,600 people. That's a lot of people in the hospital. Notice, it killed 34,200 people in the United States. 34,000. That just happened. Did you know that? Did you realize that many people died from the flu last year in the United States? Worldwide, I couldn't even really find a number on it for that particular year, I guess because it's so recent. But what I did find was on an average, well, with some help, on an average worldwide each year, 646,000 people die from the flu. The flu season before that one, 2017 through 2018, that flu infected 45 million people. 45 million with the flu. And the flu is very serious, especially for certain people that are higher risk of a fatality during that time. It hospitalized 810,000. And killed 61,000 people in the United States in that year. The flu. Just the flu. Pretty bad, isn't it? Serious. Very serious. And of course, I gave the same figure because that's all I could find. Annually, 646,000 worldwide died. You remember the old Hong Kong flu? Some of you were not here then, but I was here, but I don't remember it, but I was only about 8 or 9 years old. But some of you probably remember it very well. Do you know that the Hong Kong flu of 1968 and 69 killed 1 million people worldwide? That's a lot of people. I cannot really comprehend 1 million of anything. 1 million people. In the United States, it killed 100,000 people. That's an epidemic. What about the Asian flu? Is that the worst pandemic that we've ever had? You see, I wasn't quite around at this time, but some of you were here then, when the Asian flu came through. 1957 through 1958. That particular flu killed almost 4 million people worldwide. 4 million. It killed 116,000 in the United States alone. I know you were not alive when this took place. If you are and were, God bless you. The Spanish flu, 1918, 1919, infected 50 million people. When I started putting this sermon together, I thought, when I saw that one, I said, that's it. That's the deadliest pandemic that the people of this world has ever known. It's got to be, because it killed 50 million people worldwide. 50 million people killed. 25 million died in the first 25 weeks of that flu. 25 million. And in the United States, 675,000 people died from the Spanish flu. I thought, oh, that's got to be the deadliest pandemic ever. Look at those numbers. But then as I continued to research, you ever heard of smallpox? I never thought that much about smallpox. But I found out that in the 20th century alone, smallpox killed over 300 million people worldwide. Over 300 million. I said, oh, that's got to be the deadliest pandemic. What could top that? The coronavirus? Well, keep this in mind. I'm not trying to downplay this virus. Don't get that idea in your head at all. I'm just trying to line things up the way things really are. You know, as they talk about the facts, the numbers. Here are the facts, the best that I could find them as they're being reported. This coronavirus, 2019-2020, to date has infected 660,706 people worldwide have been infected by this disease. Now realize, this number is climbing rapidly. We're not at the end of this. We don't know where the end of it is. We don't know how bad it's going to be eventually. Down the road, they'll be able to look back and estimate exactly how many have been infected and not the best that they can. So this thing has not come to an end. As a matter of fact, the United States, we, as you've been hearing over and over, we have not even begun to flatten that curve yet. It's still rising. But also it's because there's a lot more testing going on. We're testing everywhere. Okay, so you got to keep all that in mind, so you can't really wrap your mind. We really don't know all the numbers on this thing, even at this present time. But we do know this. This is what's being reported. Worldwide, as of this morning, worldwide, 30,652 people have died from the coronavirus. Last night at midnight, when I went to sleep, well, I didn't go to sleep at midnight, but I stopped watching the news at midnight as I was working. But at midnight, the last time I looked to see what was being reported on how many deaths in the United States, there were 2,026 deaths in the United States from this virus. When I woke up this morning, the number was 2,191. That's bad, isn't it? That's terrible. As it's been pointed out by our president and others, one death is too many. As of this morning, we've had 2,191 deaths in the United States due to this particular virus. Now, let's just kind of line this up a little bit. Just kind of give a picture where we are. When we think about the deaths in the United States from pandemics, just the few that I've noticed, I didn't put smallpox in here, but because I couldn't get a good number for the United States. But in the United States alone, from these pandemics that we have discussed, the Spanish flu, there were 675,000 deaths in the United States. The Asian flu, 116,000 deaths in the United States. The Hong Kong flu, 100,000 deaths in the United States. The influenza during the year of 2017-2018, there were 61,000 deaths in the United States. The flu season the year after that, there was 34,200 deaths in the United States. The swine flu killed 12,469 people in the United States. Now this is what we need to know. Coronavirus so far has killed 2,191 people. And yet people are in a panic. Never been anything like this before. Some have even said this is a sign of the end of the times. The world's coming to an end. People panicking, buying all the groceries, getting all ready for something that they don't believe we're going to be able to survive through. It's very serious. Make no doubt about it. Very serious. But to this point, in the United States, in our country in which we live, it has killed 2,191 people by this morning. Look at those numbers closely. Now, this is what I understand from what I've studied and what I've researched. The number one thing that Christians need to be doing right now is praying. That's not the fourth or the fifth or the sixth thing. The number one thing that Christians always do is call out to our God. Anytime there's a crisis. The second thing, I heard a man last night on TV, he's the doctor, he's on the front line, he's right in the middle of all this, and he said some very good things that caught my attention. As we get further into this, the doctors and scientists are learning a lot more about this particular virus. The second thing you need to do is wash your hands often. Just every time you think about it, wash your hands. You go out in public, be sure and wash your hands. Just wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. For those of you who are at high risk, some of you have asthma, some of you have other problems that your immune system is not as it ought to be, and things like that, you are really at high risk. Be careful. Don't go out unless you have to. What they're telling us to do, I believe, is exactly the right thing to do. So don't go out any more than you have to in public. But remember this. Pray. Wash your hands. I didn't know this, but soap and water is the best thing you can use. I didn't know that. Soap and water. Wash your hands. Step number three, do not put your hand to your face. Now, once I heard this, this doctor was saying that the way people get this disease, the way it's transmitted, is through your eyes, through your nose, and through your mouth. And the way people are getting this virus, they're either touching something that's been infected by the virus, or they're touching a person that has the virus, and then they're bringing their hands to their face, and they're touching either around the eyes, the nose, or the mouth. That's the way you catch this stuff. Now, as soon as I heard that, the rest of the night, I had little crawlies on my face, around my eyes was itching, my nose was tickling, and I was just like, what in the world? So when I start seeing y'all do all that, it's okay. I went through it last night, I'm over it, I'm better now. But when you start thinking about that, your hand just going to keep going to your face. We do that a lot, don't we? don't do that. Wash your hands often. Don't put your hands to your face, because that's how you get this virus. And then, number four, when you sneeze, for the sake of others, sneeze into your arm. Don't sneeze into your hand, because if you had this virus and then someone shakes your hand, then they take, after shaking your hand, they put their hand to their face, they run a high risk of getting this virus. Okay? To me, that just laid it out for me pretty plain. So I have to work on washing my hands a lot, praying a lot, washing my hands a lot. Don't put your hand to your face. When you sneeze, be mindful. Try to sneeze into your arm so you don't sneeze on others. Don't sneeze into your hand. And he was saying, this doctor was saying, that if we follow this pretty much, he didn't have the prayer in there, but, you know, that's first for us. If you do this right here, there's a 99% chance you will not get this virus. And he's working with people every day who have the virus, okay? So I just threw that in for good measures, because I want you all to be safe. I don't want you to get this virus. We have been through things much worse than this, but this is serious, okay? And so put those things into practice. You should be okay. Social distancing, that's a big thing they're preaching now. That's a good thing, stay 5-6 feet away. But let me tell you something. Those of you that have seen me sneeze, you know, 6 feet away, if I smell pepper, I can part your hair with a sneeze. So you see me start to sneeze, you better get way off over there, because I don't have little sneezes. All right, so keep that in mind. You don't want people coughing on you. Don't want people sneezing on you. Please take this seriously and be safe. Don't mistake what I'm going to show you. This is not the deadliest pandemic ever. When I thought about all these pandemics that I noticed, I researched so many of them. The thing that really came to my mind was leprosy. You know, leprosy is a pandemic. And when you go to research leprosy, even in the Bible, you first find leprosy mentioned in Leviticus chapter 13. Well, Leviticus chapter 13 will take you about 3,500 years back in time. There are still people dying from leprosy in other countries. There were some died in the United States just a few years ago. There's no way to really, that I could find, to measure the number of deaths because of this terrible disease called leprosy. Leprosy is one of the greatest epidemics and inflictors of fear and suffering in the ancient world. We read about all through the Bible, Old and New Testament. It was the most dreaded disease of that day. When you received leprosy, you was as good as dead, and it was a painful, horrible death. I actually had a slide to put up there, but it looked so gruesome, I would not even put it up there. I took it off. I didn't want you to see it. Eventually happened because of the poor blood and the blood circulation, body parts eventually started falling off. Faces became disfigured. A horrible disease, scabs and scales and sores and open, wet wounds, and very, very contagious. We'll talk about it in just a minute. Leprosy. Lepers were known as the walking dead. There's a Jewish culture scholar, Edersheim is his name, said the disease which we call leprosy generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Soon the skin in such spots loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. As the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and the ears, begins to bunch with deep furrows between the swellings. so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. Fingertips drop off or are absorbed. Toes are affected similarly. His throat becomes hoarse, and you can now not only see, feel, and smell the leper, but you can hear his raspy voice. And if you stay with him for some time, you can even imagine a particular taste in your mouth, probably due to the odor. Leprosy, a pandemic. Leprosy, however, is a and graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin. Sin is no doubt the greatest, deadliest pandemic of all times. Far outreaches all the ones that we have already noticed. Sin is ugly. It's despicable. It's contagious. It's contaminating. It spreads. It separates men from God and causes them to be outcast. Sin is inside of us, deeper than the skin. It's not on the surface. When you think about leprosy, leprosy is a type of sin. Sin being the antitype of leprosy. So when you look at leprosy, you see a physical sickness, a physical disease, but when you look at sin, it's spiritual. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 3, the Bible says, "The priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and where the hair, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague is plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy." If that place on that person was deeper than his flesh, down in there, then it was leprosy. That's one of the ways they knew it. The Bible says in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, Jesus talking to those people on that day said, "That which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man." It wasn't eating with unwashed hands. It's what comes out of the man. You see, sin is deeper than the skin. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Sin, leprosy, is very contagious. It spreads. Leviticus 13, verse 8, "And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean." It is a leprosy. As that disease spreads, they are to be pronounced to be leprous, and they are to be put away from the rest of the people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, Paul said, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Sin spreads. If you don't believe it, just hang out with it for a while and see what happens. Sin, like leprosy, always defiles and isolates. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 through verse 46. When those people had leprosy, they were then to take a cover and put it over their top lips. And as they were anywhere where they could see people, they were to cry and say, "Unclean, unclean, we've been defiled by leprosy." We are to be separated from people who were did not have that horrible disease. They had been defiled. So it is with sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 11, beginning, In verse 13, the Bible says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat." And then he says, "Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." Sin will defile you. Sin will cause you to be an outcast. Well, you have to be isolated from the rest of the church if sin is continued therein. And just as the leper's garments are fit only for the fire, so those who die clothed in sin will burn forever. This horrible disease would even get into the skin, the materials that they wore, and would grow and survive in there. And those garments were to be taken off. Those garments were to be cast into the fire where they would be burned. Leviticus 13, verse 51 and also verse 52. In Jude chapter 1, verse 23, Jude said, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." If we are wearing garments of sin today, we need to put them off. We need to put it aside. Because if not, if we have defiled our garments and we leave the walks of this life in that condition, we too will be cast into a fire, an eternal fire that will not be quenched. Friends, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that sin is the deadliest pandemic ever. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death." And then Paul said, but right before that, in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." How horrible is sin? All have sinned, Paul said. All. I heard one person on the news say a few days back that most likely 40 to 60% of the American population will get this particular virus that's going around. Listen, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're here this morning and you've reached the age of accountability, you are included in that all, as is myself. You see how contagious? And sin brings forth death? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God said to Adam, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." But you remember what happened. They ate of that fruit, and what happened? They died. Just think, let your mind go back, start in the Old Testament, and think of all the people that have died because of this deadly pandemic called sin. 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter takes his readers back to the days of Noah and to the days of Lot, which we know very well, we're very familiar with, and said, "And spared God," talking about God, "and spared not the whole world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world the ungodly." Think of all those people. Some people said there may have been millions of people on the earth at the time that Noah lived when the flood took place, and God saved eight souls. All the rest were destroyed. Why? Because of sin. And then in verse 6, he again reminds his readers about Sodom and Gomorrah, "and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly." It wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah. It was Sodom, it was Gomorrah, and it was the cities around about Sodom and Gomorrah who had given in to strange flesh, sinful practices. They had been infected by that terrible disease called sin. I call it a disease because I believe I can, because as we'll see in a minute, Jesus is the great physician. What do doctors do? They heal sicknesses. sick people. Just think of all the people. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, the Bible points out that 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died in one night because of sin. 185,000 in one night because of sin. Oh, there's no way to keep records. There's no way to know how many people have been killed by this deadly pandemic. Notice in Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and there is a way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." The deadliest pandemic ever is sin. The cure for sin is the same, listen to this, as the cure for leprosy. So wait a minute. I didn't know there was a cure for leprosy. Did you listen to the text that was read just a few minutes ago? Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 42. The Bible says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This leper wanted to be healed of that terrible disease, leprosy. And Jesus, notice, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. It was through the touch of the sinless Son of God that this man was healed of this deadly disease. When it comes to sin, if you have not been touched by Jesus, you cannot be healed. When you study about Jesus, when you study about his life, does it or does he not touch you? Not in a miraculous sense, as it was in this case. My point is this: you've got to go to Jesus to be healed from spiritual disease. Notice, the Bible says, verse 42, "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." The cure for leprosy was Jesus Christ. The cure for sin is Jesus Christ. There is no other cure. There is no other. Notice, Mark chapter 2, verse 17, "And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick." What's he talking about? Physically sick or spiritually sick? "I am come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." That answers that question, doesn't it? Sinners are sick with the deadliest pandemic ever, sin. And Jesus is the only great physician. He can heal it. That's why in John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says, "The next day, John, Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That has not been said about anyone else in Scripture. The great physician, the Lamb of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, John wrote and said, "Ye know that he was manifested," Jesus was made known, "to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Leprosy, terrible pandemic. But sin is far greater, much more deadlier than anything else that man has ever known. What are some steps to prevent the transmission of these deadly pandemics? Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about COVID-19, because that's the pressing issue of our day. That's what's got everybody in a panic. That's what everybody's so afraid. They're going to get this disease. Well, there's been some drastic measures taken. My opinion, it's only my opinion, it may have been too much done. We'll not know until later down the road, but because of the way this particular virus has been treated, it created a lot of fear and panic among the people of the world. There's never been a pandemic that I know of ever treated with these extreme measures as this particular one. And when all we do is watch TV and we listen to all the media and everything they say, you know they're blowing a lot of this out of proportion. And if you take everything in that you hear, you may be afraid. So much so that you may even want to isolate yourself from your own spouse. We've got to keep our common sense, our reason, and our faith. When there's a storm brewing, the weather people, you've noticed, there's any kind of little storm out there, they get all excited. They blow that thing up. They want you to go get all your food, go down in the basement, all these things, and then it's just a little thunderstorm most of the time. But just think about it, they're bored to death. They have nothing to report on when the weather's pretty. And so they need something to get them excited. How would you like to just report on pretty weather all the time? Well, the same thing with the media here. To some degree, they need something to talk about. Even they were getting tired of talking about Trump and the Republicans and the Democrats. And so guess what? Now we got something. Now, it's all about this for the most part, right? I mean, that's the big thing. I'm not trying to downplay this. I just want to put it where it belongs. Countries closing their borders. All those pandemics we talked about, how many times have the borders been closed because of a pandemic? Now, keep in mind, a little over 2,000 people have died in the United States. We don't want anyone to die, but I want you to keep these numbers in the right order. I want you to see what's going on so you won't let your heart be troubled so much. I'm not against these things that have been done. I'm for these things. If that's what the powers that be say needs to be done, I'm for that. To a large degree, states are closing their borders. That's what happened in Florida. They don't want to be infected by somebody from New York or somebody from New Orleans or somewhere. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Areas are quarantined, and some are calling for more than others. Non-essential jobs closed down. That's going to hurt us. I think it was the president said that the cure could be worse than the disease. There may be some truth in that. I don't know all these things for facts. I just want you to look at them and think about them. Non-essential are confined to homes. Non-essential places of congregation or congregating have been shut down, such as schools, beaches, bars, barbershops, movie theaters, sports arenas, gyms, restaurants. They're pretty much taking now the ones that are going on. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that. I'm kind of glad some of those places are shut down. I wish they wouldn't reopen, but cancellations of major cultural and religious events around the world, including film festivals, major music events, and religious services. Now, that's where I have a little problem. The rest of it, I can take it or leave it. If that's what you want, that's what we'll do. But don't close the church doors. When you're having a pandemic and people are afraid, you need the doors open. This is when we need the church. This is when we need to be together. If you're not together as a church, if you're not assembling as we are assembling today, then you're in your house and you're listening to all this other stuff that's being blown out of proportion most likely. and what's happening to you and your faith and your strength? Where's it going? Where is it? This is when we need to assemble. The doors need to be open for those out there. This is an opportunity for the lost to be saved. But they can't be saved if you got the doors locked and the lights turned out and you're not assembling to worship God. That's where I have my concern. The economy and all those things, it'll come back. This pandemic, we'll get through it. We know we will. But I'm afraid a lot of damage is being done in the Church of Christ because of what's going on. And it's not as much, in my opinion, it's not as much the virus as it is the way the virus is being treated. That's what's going on. We've noticed these pandemics. We've compared them to each other. And the difference is the way this one is being treated worldwide in the United States and especially by the leaders of the Church of Christ. The world's most renowned doctors and scientists are working on this matter. They will find cures. They will have vaccines. These people are brilliant. They're made in the image of God. They're highly intelligent. Even many retired doctors and nurses have volunteered to come out of retirement to go back to work. I'm with the president when he talks about the great spirit of the people of the United States of America and how they pull together in hard times. How they put their lives in harm's way for their mankind. Of course, they're testing for COVID-19, more and more tests. These are all good things. These are all good things. I'm glad these things are going on. Many companies have changed their products to things like building respirators and masks and tests. That's all good. That's a beautiful thing about people in the United States of America. $2 trillion stimulus package for this virus. When has that ever been done before? You see, it's about the way the virus is being treated more than it's the virus. Now, this is where I've been trying to get you all morning, all right? You take all that other for what it's worth, but this is where I was headed. This is what disturbs me. Even with myself, I'm as guilty as all others. What if our world took the spread of sin as seriously as the spread of COVID-19? What if all these drastic measures were being taken? What if the government of the United States of America would give $1 trillion to the Church of Christ to be able to spread the gospel throughout this country? What if people started having to be quarantined because they're living in sin? What if that much attention was being brought to people that are sick with sin like it's being brought to people who are sick with this virus? What a difference would it make if our country was so concerned about the souls of men like they are the lives of men. You see, this pandemic that we're talking about, the deadliest, it's been going on all the way since Genesis chapter 3. And it's growing in popularity. It hasn't slowed down at all. As a matter of fact, it's ramping up. And people just go to work. They pay their bills. It's no big deal. Somebody right beside you is dead in sin. Someone over here is dead in sin. We just like, we'll hug them. It ain't nothing to it. We'll just be all over them. Dead in sin. Just think. Here's where it's really at. What if we, the church, took the spread of sin as seriously as we are taking the spread of the coronavirus. Listen, this virus has leaders of the Church of Christ closing the doors on the church building because they don't want people to be contaminated by a virus. But yet all the while, people are dying in sin. And what are they doing about that? Oh, we send a little money to this missionary, a little money to this missionary. We'd have a Bible study every once in a great while, but hey, we're not all that excited about people dying in sin trying to get them saved, are we? Not even the church. But yet, when it comes to something of a physical nature, people are in a panic. They're all concerned. Everyone's trying to fix the problem. Well, all the while, there's a greater pandemic been going on and seems to go, for the most part, unnoticed. You see, the beauty of this particular sin, the spiritual sin, is that God has given us a cure to stop the spread. We don't have to call in scientists. We don't have to call in the brightest minds. We don't have to bring in the smartest gospel preachers to know the cure to this disease. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What is the answer? The gospel of Christ. There's a cure. When people obey the gospel, they are freed from the disease of sin, that spiritual wickedness. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul writes and says, "If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." You can't let sin remain in the church. You got to get it out. You got to separate. You know why? Because as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, about verse 11, it's contagious. It spreads like leaven. God's given us the cure. We know how to stop the spread. He's given us the plan. The plan hasn't changed. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." What's the plan? Go preach the gospel. And then once you teach people the gospel, they obey the gospel, you teach them to go teach others. What if all the leaders in our world would get behind God's plan? What if all the leaders in the Church of Christ would get behind God's plan? What if every member of the Church of Christ would put God's plan into practice? Wouldn't that make a big difference in the size of the kingdom? Wouldn't that be the best thing that could happen to the United States of America? Well, what measures are you taking to protect yourself and others from COVID-19? Staying at home from school or work? Staying home from public church assemblies? Practicing social distancing? Practicing self-quarantine when need be? Storing up meds and foods and toiletries and other necessities? Washing and disinfecting ourselves? And warning others. I have been warned, I can't tell you how many times, by how many people. Please, don't go out in the public. Please, don't do this. Please, don't do that. We're going to great lengths to protect ourselves and others from contracting or transmitting this terrible disease. But what measures are you and I taking to protect ourselves and others from sin? That's my question. As they say, that's where the rubber meets the road. That should be so far elevated above this virus, it's unbelievable. But it's just the opposite. Are you studying God's Word, Romans 10:17, so that you'll have faith? Are you doing that to protect yourself from this spiritual disease called sin? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24? Have you repented of your sins, Acts 17:30-31? Have you confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, that is, that you believe that He is the Son of God, the confession is unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10? And have you been baptized to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38? Are you continuing to study your Bible, having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, as commanded in 2 Timothy 2:15? Are you continuing to grow spiritually, as we're admonished by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that we may desire the sincere word, that we may have the milk of God's word, that we may grow just like babies? Are you worshiping continually as commanded in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through verse 31? Are you living right? Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Are you striving to be faithful even unto death? Revelation 2:10. And after becoming a Christian, when you realize that you've committed sin, do you repent and confess of your sins, as did Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, verse 22, and as we're commanded to do in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9? Are you praying for forgiveness, as Simon was told to do in Acts 8, verse 22, and as James points out that we should confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we may be healed? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James chapter 5, verse 16. And then are we warning others about the dangers of sin? Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to talk down this virus. I don't want you to think that I don't believe it's serious, because I believe it's extremely serious. But what I want you to see is what's way more serious than the physical is the spiritual. And how it hurts my heart to see the Church of Christ so zealous, so focused, so worked up, trying to keep from getting this virus and giving it to others, while many times ignoring or almost ignoring the deadliest pandemic of all, sin and its effects. I hope and pray we'll keep our minds right on this matter, and that we'll realize where people are in a greater danger than even losing their lives, and that's losing their souls. And so again, the question for each of us: what are we doing to make sure that our sins have been washed away? And what are we doing to make sure that we're right with God, well-pleasing in His sight, and on our way to our heavenly home? If you're here this morning and need to respond by obeying the gospels we've mentioned this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing.